Welcome to the Mana Church Stafford Podcast, where we're all about equipping God's people to change their world. We are thankful you are here and pray this message encourages you to love God, love others, and love the world more fervently than before. Now, let's get to it.
Well, good morning, Mana Church. Thank you, Signer family and company, for leading us in worship today. That was awesome. Sophie did a great job this morning. Everybody thankful for the worship team this morning? Can give them a hand. Thank you. Well, my name is Josh Gaeta. If I haven't met you yet, I'm the operations lead here at Mana Church, and Pastor Jake is away today with his family, spending some time right before the school year starts, having a great family vacation, and so I know he's with us, probably watching this morning, but I'm thankful to be able to welcome you here. If it is your first time here, welcome. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. When you leave today, this is what I normally get to do. I get to do the hosting part, so I got to get it in here before I start preaching. But if you're new here today and you haven't filled out a connection card, get one of those in the back when you leave. We'd love to know that you're here. We'd love to get a record of your visit. And that way you can also ask questions. If you want to meet Pastor Jake at Pancakes with Pastor or any other time, you can signal that you'd like to talk to him. But you can also request other information about the church, and we'd love to connect with you in that way. How many folks have been here for at least one of the past two Sundays, by show of hands? All right, good, a good majority of folks. So you know we've been in a series called Testify, and I'm not going to ask you if you did the homework, although there was homework. Pastor Jake challenged each one of us to share our story or share the gospel over the course of the 2 weeks, and so I hope you had a chance to do that, but luckily for you, if you've missed that opportunity, this is week three, and the homework is the same, so you get another chance to do that. But I want to start this morning by just kind of explaining how we got here, because 1 year ago, or maybe like 8 months ago, in 2022, we were sitting down planning this calendar for this year. And nothing is set in stone completely for an entire year, but we knew for these 3 weeks we'd like to just get away from the series model just a little bit. We knew there would be topics we couldn't cover in the series we had planned for the year. And so we said, let's just have three sermons that are completely independent of one another, and we'll just see what God does. And then as we were going through the preaching calendar, and Pastor Jake said, Josh, you need to be on the calendar. Which weeks would you like to have? I said, I'll take one of these standalones because there's a verse that's really resonating with me that I don't see being covered anywhere on the calendar. And so I said, I'll take week three of these three individual standalone sermons, and I'll plan for that. About a week and a half before we started this sermon series, and now I said series and I just said these were standalones, right? Pastor Jake was in the mountains and he got a word from the Lord and he felt like we should talk about testimony. And that turned not just from a 1 week message, but a 2 week message. And then the combination of what I'm going to talk about and what the Lord gave to him kind of matched up perfectly. And so we wound up in this 3 week series called Testify that was never intended to be a series. And the reason that's important this morning to share that with you is I believe God wants to speak something to us. I don't believe this is by accident. I don't believe these three sermons came together just by chance, but I believe there's really something as Mana Church Stafford we're supposed to take away from these 3 weeks. So we're going to believe for that this morning. These sermon series that are on Testify and sharing your story and sharing the gospel, this is the mission of the church, the Big C church. What are we doing in our church at Mana Stafford, but churches all over the place? What are we doing? We're advancing the gospel with our testimony and with sharing the words from Scripture. And so this is a big deal, and it's a big sermon series that we didn't know would happen this year. And so this morning as I start, I'd like to start off with a word of prayer just for the Lord's covering on this message this morning as we wrap up these 3 weeks. But as I'm praying, I would ask each and every one of you, would you just internally ask God to speak to you whatever it is he would have for you this morning? Give you eyes to see, give you ears to hear. One thing I know is there's nothing I can say up here today that will change you, or change me even. It's the Holy Spirit that has to do that work. What I do know is that if we come in and leave the same way, there'll be nothing different when we get out into the rest of the week, right? So pray internally as I'm praying out loud that God would just reveal to you what he has for you this morning, okay? So bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this series that has popped up. We know you're speaking to us, God. We pray for a new boldness as we share our testimony. We pray for faith, God, that what we're sharing is the word for other people. We pray you inspire us and motivate us, but God, we pray that you also just work in our own lives. Lord, let us bust through the uncomfortability or the awkwardness of speaking to others about your word, God. And today, as the word goes forth, I just pray that you would impart into each one of us, God, exactly what you would have us hear, Lord. We pray you'll be with us in this sermon today. And it's your name we pray. Amen. And amen. So like I mentioned, over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Jake has been talking about testimony and in this series called Testify, and we've actually gotten to hear from some folks in the church through videos, and that's been really cool the last 2 weeks. But your testimony is really a tool. It's a tool to advance the gospel. It's a tool to advance the kingdom of God. And today we're going to kind of step back from the tool that is our testimony and talk about a bigger picture of just sharing the gospel and why it is that we might not share the gospel. What is it that's keeping us from doing that? And today, Paul is going to be a central character in our time. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. If you like to follow along in your Bible or an app on your phone, you can get ahead of me a little bit and get to Romans chapter 1. But Paul is going to be our main character today, and if you know anything about Paul, you know he's got quite the backstory. He was a Pharisee, he was a religious leader at the time. He actually started off by persecuting the early Christians, so as Christians were being stoned, put to death for spreading the word of Jesus and what he had done, Paul was instrumental in carrying out some of those actions. He had an amazing moment on the road to Damascus one day where God just showed up in a powerful way. He was temporarily blinded by light, and God spoke to him and caused a complete conversion. He went from a Pharisee of the law who was persecuting Christians, and now he was a follower of Jesus. He was going to spread that message. So it's quite a situation he found himself in there. And the people who were believers were skeptical of Paul, right? Obviously, if he had been persecuting them up until that point, the fact that now he's one of them, there was some skepticism there early on. And so the religious leaders that he was with don't like him anymore, and the people he's kind of joined don't know what's going on, and so he's kind of treading on his own here. He's kind of going forward with this message that God's given him on his own, and he decides he's going to preach to the Gentiles. He starts his preaching ministry. He gets reported by the religious leaders for causing trouble and stirring up dissension. He gets reported to the authorities in Rome. Meanwhile, Paul internally has been preaching the gospel, and he's trying to get to the believers in Rome. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today, his call to preach to those in Rome. He's sailing there. His journey took longer than possible because wind conditions and wave conditions, and it's just becoming quite a challenge to get there. But he writes this letter to the Roman believers. And I want you to just listen as I read this scripture for any themes that you pick up as it relates to testifying, our testimony, or sharing the gospel. So we start in verse number 8, and we're going to go to verse 17. Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because the news of your faith has been reported in all the world. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son that I constantly mention to you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians," those are the non-Greeks, "both the wise and the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" As I read through that passage, I can't help but see some of the themes that we've been talking about over the last couple weeks. In verse number 8, just when he starts off this section that we read this morning, he said, "The news of your faith is being reported all over the world." Well, how is that possible if people aren't sharing their story? if people aren't sharing what the gospel message is doing in the lives of the believers in that community. The word is going forth because people are talking about it. And the laborers are motivated by hearing those testimonies. Paul kind of communicates how excited he is because he's hearing good reports going on in Rome. The question I have for us this morning, one of the questions I have for us is, how often are we talking about the good news of Jesus? How often are we sharing that either through our testimony or just through what we know of Scripture? Because for Paul, this is a real part of everyday living. It's part of his everyday writing. He has got to share the gospel. And many of you probably have these people. I was thinking about as I was putting this sermon together, people in our lives. You might have these people. Maybe it's a grandmother or an aunt or a sibling or a friend. And every time you get together, the same stories are shared. Does anybody have those kind of folks in your life? Maybe it's the big fish that was caught. Okay. Maybe it was the big fish that was caught that one time. And oh, you remember that? Or maybe it was this great travel experience that they went on. Or maybe it was this great time you had as a family. And all those things are good. But the question is any of our regular conversation around the work of God in our lives? Is any of our conversation, our regular conversation, about advancing the gospel? And so Paul says, I constantly mention to you good news about the Son. And today, the key verse we're going to focus in on, which I've called kind of the money verse for today. I think if we can capture this, it's going to be the key to unlocking our own faith at new levels. It's the key to giving us a little bit more boldness. It's a key to understanding what may be hindering us in sharing our story and sharing the gospel. But that is verse number 16. And in that verse, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. There's a Greek word for that that I did not memorize for this sermon, but I did look it up because that's what pastors do, and I'm trying to be a pastor this morning. And so I looked up the Greek word, but in the Greek, the word simply means disgraced or personally humiliated. Paul's saying, I will not be disgraced. I will not be personally humiliated because of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Do we stand with Paul with that same spirit of not being ashamed of the gospel? Not just I agree with the gospel or I enjoy hearing about the gospel, but are we not ashamed of the gospel as Paul is saying here? I think in his story that we read, he identifies three things that we should consider this morning, three causes of shame. Now, this is not exhaustive, so don't hear these three things and think those are the only cause of shame. And sometimes we phrase shame differently in our culture and contemporary life than maybe how we're using it here. But in just a moment, I'll explain how I think they all come together as the same. But as Paul was sharing his story, some things stood out. What causes shame? The first one, I believe, is our past. Our past. I think our past can cause us shame because we feel like we're not worthy at this point because of choices we've made prior. There's things we've done in our life. Some of you may have said this or you've heard somebody say this where it's like, oh, if you only knew me then, you wouldn't be my friend now, or something like that. And so our past can sometimes cause us this humiliation or this disgrace to where we feel like we're not worthy to carry this message forward. It might be because very specifically, we feel hypocritical. I'm sharing the good news. I'm sharing what the Lord has done. I'm sharing what it's like to follow Jesus with our whole heart. But if I share it with this person, they're going to know I never did any of that before, and then it's going to seem contradictory, and I just won't share anything because I don't want to be seen as hypocritical. And so our past can be a cause of that shame. Our insecurities could be a cause of that shame. Just not feeling confident. We're unknowledgeable. We lack some competence. You know, I don't know how many of you have memorized this book, but I can tell you I have not memorized this entire Bible. And that could be intimidating. What happens if I get into a conversation with somebody and they start asking me questions and I don't have those answers? What do I do? Okay, maybe I just won't say anything. That way I don't find myself in that position. We got to be careful that we don't let insecurities drive us away from sharing the gospel. We may feel we lack emotional or support from other people, emotional support or actual support. Maybe we don't have a tribe, a group of people that we feel like has our back. Let me encourage you. You're here at Manna Church. We have your back. That's what this is all about, gathering together, encouraging one another as believers. Or you may just fear being an outlier. If you're a young person here today, I don't think this goes away necessarily as you get older, but if you're a middle schooler, a high schooler, college student here this morning, I think this is a big driver. You just don't want to be seen as different. You want to fit in. You don't want to cause a scene. You don't want to get made fun of. And so you go along with the crowd. And really, culturally, our whole culture is about following the trends and following the fads. That's how marketing works. It gets everybody to go along in one direction so that you all buy this product or you all do this thing. And if we're not careful, we just subscribe to that and we find ourselves avoiding being an outlier. But we know from Scripture that the path is narrow. We know from Scripture that we will stand out, and that's okay. And so our past and our insecurities can drive us into a state of shame, whether we think about it that way or not. And thirdly, I believe our failure also drives shame. We might have a mindset of failure where you might think, hey, why try? Every time I do something, it goes wrong. I'm not going to even try this. Or maybe you just don't want to be known as a failure, and so here's something new. I haven't done this before. I haven't shared my story. I haven't shared my testimony. I haven't tried to share the gospel. What if I miss all the points? I'll be a failure. People will know I'm a failure. And so you're kind of timid and scared to share. Or maybe another way to look at failure is most of us don't like to admit our failures, right? Like, the idea of admitting we're wrong is very challenging. And so maybe we don't ever go to that place because we don't want to have to look back and say we were wrong about something. And so I believe this morning our past and our insecurities and our failure could be causes of shame. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And Paul is a great case study because he addresses all these things that we just mentioned. First of all, he was a Pharisee who persecuted followers of Jesus. We mentioned that already. Talk about bad decisions in your past. Paul was killing Christians. And yet he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel now. If you look at Paul, he had a brotherhood in the Pharisees, and when he left that, he was on his own, especially for a minute there when the believers didn't know what to make of him. And he charted his own course, and there could have been a lot of insecurity there. But he pushed through that, and he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And when you think about the concept of failure, think about the fact that he had to go, I was wrong all of this time in my life. He had to get to that place to be unashamed of the gospel. And man, for so many of us, it's hard to admit we were wrong about simple things, just very simple things. And Paul's got to say, I was wrong my entire life before this. I missed Jesus completely. As we think about what shame does to us, as we think about Paul here saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I think whether you're talking about it in sort of a current context or in the context in the Greek here, the fruit of it is the same. When we're ashamed of anything, we're silenced. We're silenced. And that's the main driver. We cannot be silent about the gospel. Paul understood he wasn't carrying his own message. He was carrying God's message. He understood it wasn't about building his own platform or subscriber list or followers. He was just sharing God's message. So there was no agenda for him. In fact, people could still look at him a certain way. It didn't matter because God's message is what was ultimately going to prevail. He realized his past did not bear any weight on God's past, present, or future. And so he shared the gospel. The message speaks for itself. And as Manna Church, I think for each and every one of us, we have to ask ourselves, are we just willing to be a vessel for God to use to get his word out? Are we just willing to be a vessel? Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This was a big statement for Paul then. It's a big statement for us today. It's big not just because it implies that your life is on mission, but it also says, hey, God can save people. Like, that's the big deal. The gospel is the power of salvation. Like, we've used this analogy before, but if somebody is running off a cliff, you know the cliff's there, you know they're just going to fall to their death. You're going to try to stop them. You're going to try to slow them down, right? And so here we have this gospel message. It's the power of salvation. It's the only thing that can save. And so that should motivate us to want to get this message out. And when we talk about the gospel, this is the power of this is the power to free people from eternal damnation, from separation from God. But I want to be very clear what we're talking about with the gospel, because sometimes when we just say the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, maybe for some that just kind of goes over your head. And so you're like, what is it that we're actually supposed to talk about? And it's just very simple. It's the basics of the Christian faith. It's that man was fallen. Man was fallen. Ever since the Garden of Eden, man was fallen, and God sent his Son to redeem mankind. And Jesus died on the cross bearing the full weight of our sin. It was the punishment that was deserved, but he took it all upon himself. He rose from the dead on the third day, thereby verifying his entire ministry, verifying prophets of old. And we now are justified by faith because of the work of the cross, as opposed to having to follow a law. And you may put that in a little different terminology than I just did, but that's the essentials of the faith. That's the message that's got to go forth. And so as you think about sharing your testimony and weaving the gospel message into it, because as Pastor Jake said, sometimes that's a little easier from going from a cold call. Here's the gospel message. Sometimes it's easier to do that through sharing your story. But think about how each one of those points are relevant in your testimony. I do believe this, that the Bible is clear that Jesus would go after the one. You hear the story, the 99 sheep and the one. And what I want to encourage you with this morning is that your story, which I believe is very unique, there may be some shared instances and different stories across the room today, but I do believe each and every one of us has a unique set of circumstances that created that story. And your story may be for the one. You might speak to 20 people or 99 people, and they all pass right by you, but there's the one. And that's why you should share your story. And let me tell you, here in Stafford County, there's like 130,000 people, so one out of 100 would not be bad. All right? One out of 100 is not bad. But your unique story will connect with somebody else. And the reason at Mana Church we say, hey, when you're doing this thing, when you're loving the world, invite them in here. The reason why we talk about that too is because it might not be that your story is the connector, but somebody on the other side of the room's story might be the connector. And so now we're bringing people in where there's multiple stories to be shared. And ultimately their life will be different in a positive way. Paul can seem very far away to people. He lived a long time ago. But when you share your story and when you share the gospel, it becomes very real and tangible to the people that you're talking with. I do believe that the more we practice this, the more normal it becomes. It is awkward and it is hard at first, and I don't want to diminish that in any way, shape, or form. But this morning, I'd like to go into how we as a church can live a life unashamed of the gospel. This morning, I want to present to you four defining characteristics of a life unashamed of the gospel. And I believe that if we can evaluate ourselves and we can look at this and say, yeah, I do these four things, I think you can say, I am fully unashamed of the gospel for sure. But I believe these are some defining characteristics that Paul showed with us or shared with us here. The first one is that the gospel is the loudest message in your life. The gospel is the loudest message in your life. I want to be very careful here because this is going to sound like a rebuke and it's not meant to sound that way. I'm speaking this to myself as well. But I do believe that we can't worship with our lips but be silent with our lives. We just had a great time up here of worship, and it was great, and the songs were great, and I think a lot of them tied in, and the Lord's moving in the worship experience, but we can't walk out the doors and do nothing or say nothing else. So we can't worship with our lips and be silent with our lives. That's the lukewarm church, I think, in Revelation that's talked about. We're supposed to let our light shine so that others may see it and glorify the Lord. Paul had a single focus, and he was undistracted. And so again, I'll go back to something I said a little bit earlier. There's a lot of messages we communicate with our lives, but is the gospel message the loudest? It's not that the vacation's not great. It's not that all the accomplishments of your children aren't great. It's not that there's not other good stuff to talk about. But when people opposite you think about you, do they know that you're a person of faith? Do they know that the gospel message is an important part of your life? Or is it the other things? Is it the other things? The second thing, so the gospel is the loudest message. The second thing is fruit will follow. If you live a life unashamed of the gospel, fruit will follow. Spiritual fruit will follow in your own life, and it will follow in the lives of the others that you talk with. It's going to happen. It can't not happen. The third thing, conquering becomes commonplace. I mentioned, you know, listen, as a group of believers, we're not on the sidelines. We're not the extras in a movie. You know, we're not the bench warmers waiting to get on the court or get on the field. We're not just participants and people sitting in an audience while the team up here does things, right? We are in the game. We are the army of the Lord advancing the kingdom. We have a slogan here at Manna Church that says, we're making it hard to go to hell in Stafford. And that's not just something cute that we want to put on the wall or make us feel good about. It's a real mission that we have. But whenever you're in that battle and whenever you're fighting for lives for people against a very real enemy, it's going to be a battle. And there's very few clean sweeps in a battle. There's going to be some struggle there. But as a person unashamed of the gospel, conquering becomes commonplace. You remain offensive in your posture and you continue to take the fight to the enemy as opposed to being on the defense. And so conquering becomes commonplace. Fourthly, conviction causes repentance. Conviction causes repentance. We are going to fail. We are not necessarily, you know, we're going to fail in parts of our lives. We're people. We're imperfect. God's the only perfect one. We have to be comfortable in that moment to repent. When we fall short, when we sin, when we go on a path different from what God has for us, we have to be the first ones to repent, apologize. God, I'm so sorry for this. Change my life. Make me new. I'm going to go in 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And so conviction, when the Holy Spirit works on us, or maybe when brothers and sisters in Christ point out something that we don't even see ourselves, we're quick to repent. And so if we're going to live a life unashamed of the gospel is going to be the loudest message. Fruit will follow. Conquering becomes commonplace, and conviction causes repentance. I want to make just a side note here real quick, and again, just encourage you, and this is something I have to tell myself. If your life routines or hobbies, schedule, busyness, children, fear, if anything keeps you from being unashamed of the gospel, specifically here, vocal. In other words, if there's anything keeping you silent, you have to change course. We have to change course. And again, it's not always intentional, and I want to be very clear about that. Sometimes it is just our routines. We get up, maybe you work 60 hours a week, you get home, you eat dinner, you go to bed, you know, restart that the next day, and next thing you know, 5 days have gone by, and it's just been, you know, this blender of a life. And it wasn't that you intentionally said, I'm not sharing the gospel, I'm scared of that. It's just that it never happens because your life is so full and occupied, and ultimately you're distracted. Distracted from the purpose, the mission of the kingdom of God. And so the challenge today for us is evaluating, does our lifestyle and our activities help or hurt the cause of being unashamed of the gospel? So what next? What's next? I'm going to encourage you here with some practical tips, practical helps, if you will. Look for opportunities to share your story and the gospel message. That's the next steps. It's the same next steps Pastor Jake has given us for the last 2 weeks. Share your story. But how can we do that? That's easy just to say, but what, Josh, give me something that I can use. Okay, here's one. Have a family share night. What about in your family at home, if you go around the circle and you just talk about when that moment was that you came to Jesus with your kids, with your parents, with your siblings? What if you just shared with each other? It might be awkward at first, but do that. Like, let that be the starting place. Do that here at Manna Church. I told our serve team this morning, the group that gets here early to set everything up, we have a little team meeting every morning, and I said, hey, this is the safest place. These four walls, or however many walls there are here in this school, but these four walls is the safest place. There's alignment here. We're all here to worship God. We're all here to hear the word of God. And so this should be the easiest place to share your story with somebody or ask questions about the gospel that you may not understand. And maybe you do it here, and maybe you do it within your family, and all of a sudden it becomes a little bit more comfortable, and it allows you to get out there with your coworkers and friends and maybe extended family. Leverage your small groups for this. This would be another action here. You can leverage your small groups, like a family story share. Do it in your small group. Small group season kicks off here in just a couple weeks at the end of August. And so as you guys sign up and get involved in small groups here at Mana Church, make sure there's time to share your story. Think about your small talk. Think about your small talk. Pastor Jake gave an example, I think this was 2 weeks ago, and he shared how when he meets somebody new, you go through the pleasantries, right? Like, hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. And then that's usually the end of it. But sometimes if you ask another question, it'll make the conversation go on. And sometimes you have to ask about other people before they'll ask about you. But as soon as they do ask about you, are you prepared to shift that conversation in a way that you can incorporate your story or the gospel message into some of that? So think about your small talk. Think about your workplace. I know there's a lot of concern in some workplaces about what's allowed and what's not allowed, and I want to encourage you, you probably have a lot more freedom than you know you have, but we're all scared to do anything. But do your coworkers know that they can come to you if they have a need and you can pray for them? Do your coworkers know that you live a life a little different than the world because of how you come to work and how you perform at work and, you know, the manners you use and the conversations you have and all of those sorts of things? All these things should lead to a conversation. Think about going on a church missions trip or participating in an outreach event. Those are good ways to put yourself in a position to share the gospel. Build it into your accountability routines. Have people ask you about it. And learn from others who do it well. There are people in this room. You know, what I love about our church is this very thing we're talking about, this idea of sharing our story and sharing the gospel. We have people in this church who do this all the time. We've had testimonies of how the last 2 weeks on video, how people's lives were changed by the gospels, and they shared it with everybody who was here. I'm thinking about one person in particular in our church who, it's a great story that I won't have time to share all of today, but there's a young lady named Caitlin in our congregation. And when I first heard about her story, I realized that she came to Mana Church, and then she invited her dad to Mana Church. And her dad started coming to Mana Church, and then her dad, Dave, invited Courtney to Mana Church. And I told these people, or I told Caitlin, I would not have her identify herself, so there's no embarrassment that's going to happen with this story, but I did get permission. And so Dave invited Courtney, and then Courtney came to our church. And then just a couple weeks ago, we introduced Courtney as our new church administrative assistant. Just because somebody was willing to say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. I found this church. I think something's happening here. And they invited somebody, and they invited somebody. And next thing you know, in our interview process with Courtney, I remember her sharing how her faith is in a different place today than it had been in a long time. And so, Caitlin, proud of you for sharing and inviting people to the church. But it's amazing what happens when we just start sharing the gospel. And that's a story that happens here at Mana Church. So as we kind of come to a close this morning, I think we have to wrestle with that question that Paul declared, which was, I am unashamed of the gospel. Are we unashamed of the gospel? Or are we silent about it? Again, willingly silent or unwillingly silent? It's not, again, just about agreeing with it or being part of the social club here at Mana Church. It's, are we really believing in it in a way that we are going to get out there and be on mission for the kingdom of God? So this morning, I want Paul to close us out more than myself. We know from Paul's story that that unashamed declaration would continue on in his life. We know that he would be arrested. We know that he would be marginalized by society. We know that he would eventually be martyred. And throughout that whole journey, he was unashamed of the gospel. But one of his last letters we have was to a disciple of his named Timothy. And I want us to read together this scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, I would ask you just to insert yourself for Timothy. I know we don't like to always do that with scripture. Sometimes we take things way out of context. But I think the message here, the encouragement to Timothy, if Paul were here today, I think he would encourage us in much a similar way. And so we're going to read out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Just kind of hear the encouragement to you today. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. And a church, can I ask you to stand this morning? The question as you leave here is, are you unashamed of the gospel? This morning, I'm going to close us out in a prayer, but after I pray, I really do want to invite you to participate in this message if you need to. We have a prayer team that will come right down front. And after I pray this morning, if you feel like you would like somebody to stand with you and encourage you, maybe you want prayer just a little bit more boldness. Maybe you want God to just inspire you just a little bit more, maybe to give you some divine appointments where you know that you know that you know that you're supposed to share in that moment. Maybe you just want a spirit of anxiety about this kind of cast off. You want to expel a spirit of shame this morning. Would you come and meet with one of our prayer team members? This is never supposed to be an audience watching something happen, but participate. Have somebody lay their hands on your shoulders this morning, just as Paul said he was looking forward to laying hands on Timothy to encourage him and embolden him. Also this morning, if you find yourself here and you're not even sure how you got here this morning, but you're not a believer and you say, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm feeling a prompting in my spirit that I need to accept Jesus this morning. I've never believed that he was the way, the truth, and the life as he claimed, but this morning I believe that is true and I'd like to give my life over to God. And you want to make that decision this morning, I'd ask you to come down afterwards as well. Meet with our prayer team, have them talk you through that and lead you through that. So I'm going to close out the service today with a prayer. But again, don't leave if you need any of that prayer and encouragement. Come down front and somebody will meet with you. So bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the work of the cross. We thank you that you are our salvation. We thank you that each one of us stands here today free from the judgment of sin. God, embolden us to share that story. Embolden us to be a congregation on mission. Lord, let our lives be a vessel that you use to impact so many others for the better. God, I pray for a release of fear and anxiety this morning. I pray for an understanding that what we're talking about today is not negotiable, God. You've called us to this. We worship you with our whole life, not just the songs we sing, God. And so, Lord, I ask you bless this congregation today. Bless each and every person at Manna Church, those that are here in the room, those that may listen on the podcast, those that may watch later online. God, I pray your blessing and your favor and just a fresh touch of your spirit this morning to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Manna Church Stafford podcast. If you would like to connect with us, you can find us on the web at mannastafford.church or download the Manna Church app. To listen to our new episodes as they become available, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. We would also love to meet you in person. If you are local, our services take place each Sunday at 10 a.m. We pray you have a blessed week, and we will see you next time.